Praise God. Doesn't it feel good just to thank the Lord and to worship Him and thank Him for what He's done for us? I just don't know what I'd do without Him. You know, Jesus said, told His disciples, without Me you can do nothing. And we know that through experience that that's the truth. It's impossible to be the person, to do the things that we'd like to do, and to have the heart, the love of God in our hearts without Him, without our Jesus being in our life and having His Spirit in our life. And we're so blessed to be children of God, to be a part of His kingdom. Praise God. I just feel good tonight. It's good to be in the house. Feel like David when he said, it's good. How did he say that? He said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. I thank the Lord for His goodness tonight. And happy to be here. And we're missing some people tonight, but Brother Michael, you know, we know where they're at.
He's sick.
Brother Michael's sick, and Brother Smith, I suppose he's still in Republic. He went to Republic to get some things, and I believe that's still where he's at. So we're a little thinned out tonight, but but it's still good to be here. Two or three are gathered together. We got a few more than that here. And so, praise God. Well, I don't have a whole lot to say tonight. Do we have any prayer requests? Yes, Sister Fisher. All right. Okay. How long has this been going on? For 4 months. All right, well, let's keep Brother Stan in our prayers. Sister Cindy. Okay. All right. Let's pray for Brother Matt. He's been concerned that he was going to have to travel some. And let's pray for him in that situation. So that he can be able to come to church. Sister Stewart.
I'd like to request prayer for a family that I know. The mom is a teacher with me at school academies.
Okay.
Their son, their 14-year-old son, had brain surgery this past spring. And he's doing well, but it's the kind of thing that's probably going to be recurring. It's an area that blood builds up in his brain. He's having lots of seizures.
Pray for them, that family.
The family's dealing with a lot. She also, in the middle of all that last year, her husband had to be taken into custody for a while over child abuse with the children. So they've worked that out supposedly, but it's been a lot of stress. Their name, the Taylors.
Okay.
Taylor family. I just appreciate them.
Yes. Pray for that situation. All right. Yes. Pray for Joshua, yes. All right. Brother Painter.
My wife is sick
tonight.
Okay. Getting over everybody else had.
Yeah. All right.
And Joanne's coming down for
pray for this flu situation. Keep God protect us. Keep us from it. All right. Brother Tyrone. This is good tonight. We're praying for a lot of people. I think God's had our minds on some people that are outside of the church. Brother Smith and Brother Michael both have asked us to call somebody. I wonder how many people has called somebody. I haven't, so, but I've been thinking about it. And it did make, it has made me think. I'm not a real outgoing, you know, person, and so I have to really plan it all out. And so I'm not like Brother Michael. He's on the phone calling people all the time. You know, if you've never got a call from Brother Michael, I'd be surprised, because he likes to do that. Sister Abraham. Okay. All right. Pray for Sister Abraham and their job situation. All right, I've got a good job, but I'm needing a raise, so maybe y'all can pray for me. I went to work for quite a bit less than I was making in Springfield. I'm blessed with the job I have. I'm happy. I'm thankful for it. But I am, Brother Smith's been after me to ask for a raise. I'm chicken. But I got a good boss, and I appreciate that. And I've been able to do a lot of things that I've never been able to do before. I never had the opportunity, and I had no idea there was so many beautiful homes here in Arkansas, there in Little Rock. And I've got to work on a lot of beautiful homes. I feel like it's a privilege. All right, well, let's stand, and maybe our ushers can come. And tonight is missionary night, so let's keep that in our mind. And give generously to the mission work. God will bless you for it. I am confident of that. So, all right. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness tonight, Lord. We just thank you for this privilege, Lord, to come and worship you, Lord, and in your house, Lord. Oh, God, we just pray for these needs, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, that you would give us a wisdom, Lord, to reach out, oh, God, to our friends and our family, Lord. Oh, God, we know you love us, and you love your children, Lord. Oh, God. Oh, God, would you help us in these needs, Lord? Oh, God, all this flu epidemic, Lord, would you help us, Lord, protect us from these diseases, Lord Jesus? Oh, God, this family, Sister Stewart's family, that's her friend, oh, God, would you touch that family, oh, God? Sister Abraham, oh, God, their job situation, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, would you help us, Lord? Oh, God. Oh, Jesus, we love you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for touching us, Lord. Oh, God, thank you for your goodness, Lord. Oh, Jesus, would you help us tonight, Lord, and lead us, oh, God. Thank you, Lord. Bless your name, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you.
right, Brother Mark. It feels good in here tonight. I feel like we our spirits are lifted. You know, our people are feeling good, and I appreciate that. To come into the house of God and begin to feel a lift of the spirit, and to feel that we are serving a God that helps us, you know, through all these things, cares of life. And listening to Sister Lynette report about this family that goes through things like that, and you have you know, some things, you get good reports, you get bad reports. You know, that's just the way life is. And I was thinking, you know, something you feel good about and something you feel bad about. This is being my last week of work, so I feel pretty good along that line. So I was, thank you. Finally made it. You know, if you work a place long as I have, I thought I'd never get to retire. You know, it's kind of like being in high school. I seemed like I was in high school so long until I thought I'd never graduate from high school. But you know, I did, finally. You know, it's amazing how long sometimes time seemed to be. Sometimes it seemed like things. I remember being at home, you know, just a kid. I don't know if I was sick or what, but you know, that school day, being at home, and it seemed like it was such a long day. It seemed like that day would never end. But anyway, that's the way it is sometimes in life. It seemed like things, you know, don't end. You know, it seemed like it lasts forever. But one of these, you know, we have a lot of passwords and things that in our systems that we have at work, and it's one couple of systems. We got two or three things that you log into, and there's one password I use. I thought it would last till I ended, left it was retirement 101, and but it expired on me. So I said, I got to come up with another. I just got a few days here, and I just need to come up with another password. So I put down happy 101. So I'm retiring and I'm happy. So anyway, it's been a good week, and of course there's been some work to do, but it has been a good week, and little mixed emotions. You know, like I say, some things, you know, you're happy about, but then there are some other things that you're not happy about. So but anyway, God knows what's best for us. I believe we have to, there in our life, I think there are some things that it's going to be that way. You know, I think there are some things that we feel good about sometimes, and there are things that we don't feel good about. And I think we, you know, like I said, when your brother and sister is going through a period of mourning, and we're mourning with them. So actually, you know, we have to have that. You know, we have to have times that we are, because people are down sometime, and we have to be able to understand, you know, what they're going to, or try to, and try to be a some kind of a way of some help to lift them up, encourage them, whatever you can do to help people, because we, you know, should be concerned about our brothers and sisters, and concerned about their welfare and how they're doing. And I know I would, like I say, I was kind of wanting to retire anyway, but they come up with this shortage, you know, work the downsizing. So they were down. So the company come up with this downsizing deal, and so I said, well, I'm planning on leaving. Whatever happens. So anyway, so they went by seniority, and this guy that had more time service than I have, and they offered it to him first, and he mulled it over and thought about it, and called me, and because he knew I was the next person, and I wouldn't call him, you know, I don't want to bug him, but anyway, he called me and asked me about it and what I thought, and told him, you know, that, you know, if he didn't take it, I would. But anyway, he wasn't sure about it, you know. He really hadn't planned to retire. You know, you think a person, well, I can't say much. I've been there forever myself, so. But he's been that long than I have. He's been there 43 years. So you think, you know, person been that long, you think they need to go home, right? Well, even 39, you should go home. And that, but anyway, he turned it down, so it fell on me, and I'm taking it. So, and I'm glad. So, anyway, God is so good, and And then see, my last day with the conference is the 13th. And we just, you know, ratified this, we've been working without a contract since April, okay? So they, you know, tentatively made an agreement on one and had to be ratified. Of course, like I said, it had to be ratified before I get off payroll for me to benefit from it. So anyway, and it just ratified today. 2 days before I get off payroll. So anyway, it just, I said, well, isn't that good? I mean, it's right in the nick of time because, you know, we get a little retroactive pay because we've been working, you know, without this contract. So it'll be retroactive back to April 4th. So I'll benefit from it. Barely. I mean, had it been next week, it would have been too late, you know. But anyway, it was this week. So I talked to my boss today. I said, when will I get, you know, this pay? And he said, well, let me find out. So anyway, he'll find out for me, but probably won't be, you know, next pay period, but down the road. As long as I know I'm getting it, that's the main thing. You know, don't forget me. But God is good, and good things. You know, I work around a lot of different people. I've seen a lot of people come and go, and a lot of good people, and you know, smart people, and people that knew what they was doing. I remember this one manager we had. They thought, there's one guy, I didn't call him that, but there's one guy, it was some guy named Iceman. Anyway, they called him God. You know, he was so smart. He knew everything about this particular system. But there's one manager that we had, you know, a second-level manager, and he was so smart. They thought when he retired, you know, the company would fold up, you know. Thought they couldn't make it without him. But I'm finding out, you know, these companies can make it without you, no matter how smart you think you are, you know, or how important you think you are. You know how Brother Tucker used to tell about people that think they're important? What he said do to see how important you are? He said, put your hand in a bucket of water. You heard that, hadn't you? Put your hand in a bucket of water and just slush it around much you want. You don't just make waves or whatever. But when you pull your hand out, just watch the water. It's going to look like you never had your hand in it, right? That's what it looked like. So anyway, that's the way it is in this world, you know, even, you know. But we want to serve God. I want to be able to see God and what's going on and all of the problems, you know, that we go through in life. To me, the difference is if you have God with you, no matter what the problems. That's what I'm finding out. Sometimes it's hard to say that, but I'm saying it is. But it really is. Whether I can say it or not, it really is. No matter what the problem is, if you got God in the mix with the problem, you know, then we can face it. We can face it. We can go through it. And like people say all the time, you know, no matter what you're going through, like they say that this too will pass. You know, it's just like everything. You look around, you know, you see people that, you know, that you've known. And I do that sometimes. I was looking. One time I was, you know, well, this hadn't been long ago. I tell my wife, I was looking out here in the service. And I remember, you know, when I was new coming to this church, and I was looking out here one service. It had been too many weeks ago. And I was looking. It really wasn't a whole lot of people in here that was here when I got here. You know, I'm thinking, that's odd. You know, and you ever been in a place where you feel like you was like the new person all the time? You feel like, you know, I was in a, you know, worked for the company. I changed jobs. Of course, I'd been there 20-something years. And I changed jobs, started doing something totally different than what I was trained to do. But I always felt like I was new. You know, I felt like, you know, these people have been doing this all the years. And I was like the new person on the job. And you can feel new, like you're new. You can feel that way for years. And here I'm, you know, I'm the one. I've been out there now longer than anybody. But I've only been there 10 years. But you feel that way. You feel like, well, I still feel like the new person. You know, because I don't know all of this out here. I don't know everything. And I know I never will. But I just thank the Lord that you can be a part of something. That's what I feel like here in this church. I feel like I'm a part of this church. And God has blessed me to be a part. And I want to be thankful about what God is doing. I want to have a thankfulness. I remember Brother Ward used to get up and testify about thanking God for seeing the light of another day. And I think about that some morning. I get up in the morning, if I'm praying or my food or whatever, and I think of Brother Ward, you know, thinking of how he should get up and say that, hey, he thanked the Lord for seeing the light. You know, if you can look out and see daylight, and be thankful. I just want to have a thankful heart, like it's filled here tonight, like Brother Mark was saying, you know, that he was thankful, and I feel that. I feel it more often than ever, you know, and I look around and like I say, you miss people, and you see that, you know, people have walked this way, you know, before you, and have worked this road and actually made it better. I can recall things that people said that helps me, you know, to be able to. They may not be here to remind me of it, but I mean their words, I can still hear their words and what they said, and it's still helpful. It still can be part of my life. I can carry that with me. You know, a lot of things that you learn in this life, it should become a part of us. We take it with us. You know, the Lord, the Spirit. You know, we are the church. So when we leave here, we take it with us, and we take everything that God has given us. You know, I was thinking, my boss came the other day, and they call it an exit. Package you get, you know. Of course, he couldn't give me all of it until Friday. I gave some more. After turning in, you know, all my stuff that, you know, belonged to the company, you know, all my IDs, you know, we got swipe cards that when you walk in, you don't have to, you know, used to you have to key in codes and pick up the phone and call somebody, they let you in, all that. But see, now, you know, they've got this fancy technology where you just swipe a card and go in, you know, if it worked. But anyway. And you got a lot of doors that you can't, you know, you have to do that. If you forget and leave your card at home, then you can't get in. But anyway, you know, all that kind of stuff, you have to turn all that in when you leave. But cell phones and companies, we used to have company cell phone, but we do now. But anyway, you have to turn all that in. And I was thinking today, I was talking to him, I didn't ask him, but I said, you know, I still know all these door code numbers, you know. They can't make me turn it in. I mean, I'll forget them eventually, but I still know them. You know what I mean? In my head, you know. You know, the door, some places you can go to, they have swipe cards and all, but some of them are still door codes that you can, and gate codes. We have, you know, in this day and time, you got to lock everything. You have to lock your vehicles up. And so we have a gated area in back of the building where we lock all the vehicles up. And those are gate codes. I have that. I still know that. And I won't forget it. But, I mean, for a while, I will forget it. But, I mean, I don't have to turn it in. I mean, I can't turn it in. That's up here. But everything physical that I have to turn it in, you know. But I was just thinking, the Lord gives us things that, you know, that'll go with us the rest of our life. We learn things from the Bible and things from what people's testimonies. You know, they'll stay with us the rest of our life, you know, what we hear. I mean, good things that can help us to be able to keep us, you know, on the right track and keep us thinking right. Sometimes and then what other people go through, what things they experience, when they tell that helps you, and then it can continue to help you. Even when you leave here or whatever, you know, it continue to help you. And I think that's good, you know, because that's what this is all about. You know, we are to get the things of God in our heart, you know, what that scripture that Brother Smith gave us, and one of them in Jeremiah, and one of them, I believe, in Hebrew, that talks about, one says that it's written in your heart, and the other one said that it's, one said written, and one said, anyway, it's dealing, one of them said in your mind. One said written in your heart, and another one said, I think, written in your mind. So it's kind of like the same thing, you know, like your heart. You, of course, you know it's not your physical heart that these things are written in anyway. We know it's not this physical heart that beats, that pumps blood. So it's not that. So it's our. Some people say your mind, your heart is your inner being, or your mind. So wherever you write that, wherever that's written, you know, something you can, well, it's hard to explain. But that's where these things of God will reside, you know, that we keep, that we have, that we can carry with us. you know, wherever we go, you know, we can have this in our hearts. We can take it with us, and that's why we're to increase in the things of God, in knowledge and love that we can have in our hearts, you know, that that we can have with us, you know, that become part of our part of us, what we are, you know, that's what we are becoming, you know, we're becoming like Christ, actually. That's what we're trying to become, like Christ. And these things that we let, you know, not just words that we hear, but experiences that we partake of, and experiences do more than just give you a mental picture or a mental expression or feeling, but it become part of your life, what you do, you know, and it's how you walk, you know, something you get, and that's what, you know, this is about, you know, it's a walk, you know, our life that we're living, you know, it's a walk with God, and that's what we're learning to do, is how to walk with God, and realizing God can be with us, you know, we can have God's presence with us when we go about this life, and that's what I mean, sometimes I get excited about it, and sometimes I don't quite understand it, but I get excited about the things of the Lord, because I know that we can have God in our life, you know. And sometimes it seems like you don't have Him in there, but I'm just saying. But to know you can, you know. Sometimes you may have to kind of talk to yourself a little bit more, or pick up a Bible, or pick up whatever it takes. You know, we always have things good to read, you know, poems and things that people give you to help encourage you, you know, and you can have it in the bathroom or wherever you got time to give God some. There's a lady retired years ago, I think it might have been in the 80s. She had a little New Testament Bible that she gave me, and I kept it at work for a long time, and I had to bring it home. But I think about people, because sometimes people you work with, after they retire, you may not ever see them again. I'm sure I probably, some of these people I've known for years, you know, 30 years. Of course, I hadn't worked in this job 30 years, but the company, you know, it's people I've known a long time. And once I walk out of them doors, you know, I won't probably never see them again, unless I just run into them somewhere, you know, in the street somewhere. But anyway, I'm just thankful tonight that to be here, to be a part of this church, that I've heard some good things. I think about ministers like Brother Whitlow, you know, how he talked about prayer life and praying. And see, I won't ever forget that. You know, I won't ever forget. I won't remember every word he said, but I remember the message. You know, what he talked about, being prayerful and praying, coming home praying. You know, even before he greeted his wife, you know, he'd go in and pray. But anyway, I don't want to forget that. I don't want to forget things that people, not just what they say. You know, I know words are important, but it's not just what they say, but what's done. You know, their life that they lived before us, and they was talking about something. Maybe that meeting they had in Memphis. I watched some of it, and they mentioned Brother Smith mentioned the older ministers. Some of the things that went on in that meeting wouldn't have gone on had some of these men been still in our presence. But anyway, I was thinking about Brother Eckerberry in Memphis. You know, he was real strong against television, and you know, he was real strong. I don't know. We went to a period of time, because when we came to this church, we was in a place in a church where the lady ministers, nothing against lady ministers, but anyway, she talked real strong about TVs, and she called them a one-eyed monster. But you know, she had one in her home, and so I was thinking, you know, it's not near as effective preaching against something when you not, you know, when you have one, you know. But we came to this church, Brother Tucker didn't have a TV. He didn't really preach, you know. I don't know, his message about it was not so much against TV, but he knew he didn't think that was the best thing to be doing. He not only talked, you know, preached, showing what some of the things about TV, but he didn't have one. You know, that, and that to me, your message, you know, if you're going to talk about something like that. And of course, we went for a long period of time without TV. We finally, when Leanna was born, we got some type of video thing, monitor, where you can monitor, watch videos, video things. And finally, one time we had a TV. My wife's mother was staying with us for a while, and I think she stayed a while and she left, and her TV was still there. So we had this TV there, and my little Leninger came over or something. We invited, I don't know what, anyway, we had this TV, and he wondered, my wife had it covered up for some reason. I don't know why, but anyways, what is that covered up? You know, but it was a TV. But but you know, we have a TV. But I mean, what I was saying about that is, we went without watching TV for so many years. I mean, I don't know how long Brother Tucker was living on, but he, you know, it seemed like we were around Brother Tucker forever. But we was only there living. He only lived 5 years, I think. I came in 76, so 5 years. But he made such an impression on my life. Seemed like I've known him 30 years, you know. But anyway, we went so long without watching. So even today, we have a TV. I don't go home, like I've said this once before, I don't go home and watch the evening news, any news. If I pick up on news, usually it's, I go on the internet, I do it at work. They have progress enough to give us the internet at work. But anyway, you know, I watch some news shots or something, you know, but it just, you know, I got away from it. I got to where we live without it. And I can, TV or no TV, you know, I take it or leave it. It don't matter. I'm saying it because, and that's where it is with life. You know, when you get something in your life that's guiding you, it don't matter. You can be around things that other people are so caught up in, and here you can get. I don't knock. Sounds like we got one, so I can't preach against. Okay, my message won't be effective. But anyway, but you see what I'm saying. I'm just saying you can get something in your life. We were without it so long until it doesn't bother me. I mean, I can watch it or not watch it. Don't matter. But and I don't know, it could be a good thing. But I just know that that became part of my life without the TV. So it kind of, I don't know if they say that you get burned out with things or what. But anyway, it just kind of, and what it is, I hear some of the younger folks talk about. See, I used to watch when I was working the evening shift. I don't know if it was before we came to this church or not. But anyway, it was one of these soap operas that came on in the evening. I went to work at 4 o'clock in this general hospital or something. I used to watch in the evening. And I'll hear somebody talk about something like in the 80s where we didn't watch. I don't even know what they're talking about, you know. I hear some of the young folks talk about a program or something that came on. But I can talk about something went on when I was back, you know, in the early late 60s or early 70s, and I know what they're talking about. Brother Keith knows. Anyway, they'll talk about something that went on in the 80s. I was out of touch. You know, I didn't even watch it. And one time I was on this, looking at some archive stuff on the internet, what is these TV programs, because I heard them talking about Buck Rogers. I didn't even, you know, I just heard about it. So I just watched this. Just to say, what is this Buck Rogers thing? So I did. They had it, and I watched it. So now I know what Buck Rogers is all about. But see, it came on the time frame. We weren't watching TV, you know. It was a time of our life. It almost seemed like you live, I'm like a cat. They say a cat lived 9 lives. It's almost seemed like you live more in my life. It's that period of time we, like I said, we didn't watch TV, and we didn't have one. And then when I grew up, we didn't watch TV. It wasn't because we thought it was not good to watch. My folks didn't have one. They couldn't afford it. You know, it was like, you know, poor folks, you know, you didn't have TV. My folks didn't have one. I didn't grow up with a TV because my parents didn't have one. And my brothers and sisters, they got married, they had TVs. So the only TVs I got to watch is when I was away from home or went to a neighbor or some friend or whatever. But anyway, they weren't against TV. They just couldn't afford to have one. And then when I went into the military, and sent them some money home, what they get? A TV. but anyway, God is good, and what happened is my dad was real bad off health wise, and I didn't know this, but when I went in the military, they had this provision for you if your parents were disabled or whatever, the government or the military would help They had some kind of hardship allotment thing. Of course, they would match it. Like, I can't remember how much, like a third. I mean, I had to pay some money into it, come out of my check, but the government matched two-thirds of it or whatever. And it was pretty good little money for them. And I had been in there a year, so I just found out about it. So they sent this money. I think it was like $1,300 or something. I mean, it was a lot of money to them. A lot of money to me, too. But anyway, they were so happy. They were so thrilled. But and I was glad that they were able to get that. And they got it as long as I was in the military. But they did buy a TV while I was away in the military. And when I got home, I didn't stay home. I came down here in Little Rock. But God has, like I said, it seemed like I've lived, in a time frame with different people, even out there at the phone company. It seemed like, there's people that retired in the 90s, people that retired in the 80s, that people are always, they always retire. And I thought, man, and the people, you talk about them or you meet them. I like this man, he was, he married Brother Foster's daughter, Irma. So Brother Crowe and Brother McGowan and know this dual Mathis. He used to be my first level boss, second level boss, and then he got promoted. He's really a good person, actually. One of the better bosses you have, but anyway, he retired in the 90s, and several of them did, like 91. And that hadn't been that long ago, like yesterday, but anyway, been 18 years ago. But a lot of those managers retired, and seemed like we lost so many people. But and then there were people, retiring after that. But I contemplate on things like that and meditate on in life, people you run into, not just at work, but even, here since I've been in Little Rock. I used to be running around here in Little Rock, and of course my wife lived, her folks lived 40 miles out in England, and I didn't know anything about it. We'd be walking on the street somewhere going, and she would see people and wave, holler, speaking to people, because I was just new here. I didn't know anybody. So I didn't ever run into anybody I know. Because Leanna said, my wife, your mama meet people, she always meet people. Because she around people she know. But now I've been here a long time, so I do run into people I know. I speak, go out somewhere and somebody blow at me or wave and say, well, I've been here. I guess I've been here a long time. I know somebody now. So anyway, it's good to be in the body of Christ and to be a part of people that are striving for the bride, striving for perfection. Be overcomers. We're not just out here beating the bushes or beating the air and out here just spinning our wheels and wasting time, but we are working to be overcomers. That's our goal, and that's what we're working toward, the overcoming life, which it is impossible with man, but it's not with God. I remember, like I say, one time we went to a meeting in Houston. I had been in church for a few months, maybe a year. I can't remember, maybe a year. But we went out to eat with Brother Tucker after service down in Houston, me and my wife and another couple from church, and we was talking to him, asking him a lot of questions, and he was telling us, and somehow he really, what he was, saying about the overcoming life, it just finally, I heard what he was saying about the overcoming life. Before, it seemed like I heard it, but it didn't hit home with me. But then when I heard what he was saying, I said, you, are we gonna, can we do that? But anyway, yes, that's what we have to do. That's what, it's not us so much, but it's with God's help. We're not going to be able to do this. It's still that way. It's still impossible with man. But with God, but when I did hear that, I remember it really hit home with me, what overcoming, what this is all about. And it's still as real today as far as, what we're not doing this. We can't do this. But the more we get strength from the Lord, the more we lean on the Lord to get strength. We have to lean on him and allow him to touch us. And I felt the strength of God here in this church. And and knowing that it's Him that's helping us. You know, we're not walking by ourselves. We're not we can't do this, you know, just us, but we can with God's help. And it's gonna, you know, then that's gonna be other times that you know, other things we'll go through. And I like this, you know, I may not see it, you know, the restored church, but how would you, do you wonder sometimes how things would be if we were walking with I know everybody in church won't be perfect, but a perfect order, you know, perfect order as far as the ministry and the church working together, everything working in order, and you know, God's people, like the early church, you know, Paul was accountable to the other ministers. He went to Jerusalem and talked to the other apostles, and when there was a question about, you know, like circumcision or some of the things that was going on that they was giving him so much trouble about, and he went talk to the other apostles about it, and they come up with I'm gonna say agreement on it. This is all the, you tell the Gentiles, this is all they need to do. You know, abstain from eating things that's offered to idols, and you know, this, you know, but you know, those Jews, Paul had a hard time, didn't he? You know, they told him, you know, that's what you tell the Gentiles. You know, these are things that these are some of the things you need to do. As long as you do this, then you'll be okay. But the people that were giving him trouble, they didn't let up. They you know, gave Paul, he had a hard road to hoe. But I guess one of the things he was against God's people, and then, you know, ignorantly, but he was working against God's people. But he had a hard road to hoe all the way. You know, out working with the Gentiles, the Jews just gave him a hard time all the way. But anyway, but God was with him, and that's the point. God helped him all the way. And I believe if we begin to lean on the Lord more, you know, no matter what we're going through, God will help us. You know, we might have opposition, but God will help us. Now, that's what I'm looking at. I want to keep my eye and keep focused to where I know God, see God in it, see God's hand helping us. You know, like I say, regardless what it is, that if I can see that, yes, God is helping us. He's keeping us strong. He's keeping us encouraged where we need to be, and lifting us up. I believe if we can do that, if we can keep our eyes on the goal, keep looking to Him, then we can make it. That's what I want to do. I want to make it. I want to be a part of what God is doing. Precious Savior. Thank you, Lord.
You know, the Bible does say about set no evil thing before your eyes. Me and Lynette, we've been married 20 years, and we have a TV set. We don't use the TV set, though we use it as a monitor. Mm-hmm. And it may have been on an hour the last 20 years. I don't know. It ain't been the same TV set. They wear out after a while. But I think anybody owns a TV set is going to burn in hell. No, I'm teasing you. I'm teasing you. That's not true now. I'm just teasing. But I don't guess there's nothing really wrong happened to TV set. At one time we preached really hard against it.
Yeah.
You know, we really did, because it's what's on TV set. And I couldn't tell you what's on right now, but I hear people talking about different things, and the way I understand it, there's some pretty bad shows out there that leaves nothing to the imagination. And I would definitely not want my kids to be raised by a TV. You know, I would not want my kids' TV to become a babysitter. But that's not why I got up here for. Something's been on my heart for several years, and I wanted to tell y'all about it. How many of y'all know Mike Crafton? Does everybody know Mike?
Yeah.
All people from Missouri know Mike? Stand up, Mike. You sit down now. That's Mike Crafton. He's a good man. I'm going to tell y'all a story about him. And like I said, this has been on my heart for several years, and I've wanted to tell about it. And if I embarrass you, forgive me. Just mark it up for my ignorance or one of my mistakes, okay? But Mike and I used to work together years ago. When I first come to church, I'll have the Holy Ghost be 25 years this December 4th. And When I first got into church, I had a really good job, making really good money, had a nice red sports car and all that kind of good stuff, you know. And anyway, after I got in church, about 2 weeks later, I lost it all. And I didn't have a place to stay. And Brother Mike, his mama, his mother, they took me in. I stayed with Brother Tally a little bit. But they took me in and they fed me and they kept me warm and they kept me dry for about 3 months, maybe 4 months maybe. And I got to know Brother Mike really, really well during that time. And but that's good, but that's not what I wanted to tell you what makes him a good man. We worked together and I become his supervisor. And during that time, about 3 or 4 months later, I was finally making enough money. I moved out, bought me a house trailer, and I was living by myself. And he was working for me. And Mike used to have a problem. He doesn't have that problem anymore. He used to have epilepsy real bad. And he was on real heavy medication. And he would have had grand mal seizures quite often. And I don't guess you've had one in a long time, have you? He had surgery. He had surgery on his brain, and I know that Lord helped there. Really had. But the medicine he would take would make him real sleepy, and it was hard for him to get up in the mornings. And when I was there, I would wake him up, make him get up, and go to work. Come on, Mike, let's go to work. You know. But if you've never been on that medication, you don't really understand it because it's hard to get up, ain't it, Mike? It's hard to get out of bed when you're on that medication. But anyway, I left and went got my house. And Brother Mike was there, and Brother Mike, he still reported to me. He started missing work, started being tardy, started being absent, and he triggered our system, our attendance system. And my boss come to me, and I remember it. He said, "Fred, you need to terminate Mike Crafton." Well, that was hard. Here I am, a gentleman that he took off the street, gave a place to stay, place to live, and I had to fire him, and that was tough. And my boss looked at me, told me he could see it was bothering me real bad, and he said, "You need me to do it for you?" And I'm not gonna let anybody else do it. And I said, "No, I'll do it." Anyway, I called Mike in there, and I said, "Mike, you know, you missed too much time, and I've got to fire you." And that was tough, man. I was almost in tears. You know what he told me? He didn't look over me and say, "Well, I took you in, fed you, and clothed you. I kept you off the street." He didn't say nothing like that. He reached over, he put his arm around me. He said, "Brother Fred, I love you. You're my brother. And I understand." That's a good man right there, y'all. I don't know. That's a good man. I've been wanting to tell a story about him for a long time. I didn't want to embarrass him, but I just felt I wanted to give him a Vocare Rose this night. But you're a good man, brother. I appreciate
praise
you.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
So get rid of those TV sets.
Still love him, brother. He'll fire me again.
Glory, hallelujah.
Isn't it good to serve the Lord? Isn't it good to live for Him? Doesn't He thrill you with His blessings every day? Oh, doesn't He watch right over you? Doesn't He love you through and through? Isn't it good to live your life for the Lord? Oh, isn't it good to serve the Lord? Isn't it good to live for Him? Doesn't He thrill you with His blessings every day? Oh, doesn't He watch right over you? Doesn't He love you through and through? Isn't it good to live your life for the Lord? Oh, isn't it good to serve the Lord? Isn't it good to live for Him? Doesn't He thrill you with His blessings every day? Oh, doesn't He watch right over you? Doesn't He love you through and through? Isn't it good to live your life for the Lord? Oh, isn't it good to serve the Lord? it good to live for Him? Doesn't He thrill you with His blessings every day? Well, doesn't He watch right over you? Doesn't He love you through and through? Isn't it good to live your life for the Lord?